Alexander Bedros, live on the radio from the living room.
Tonight.
In front of a loving, grateful group of WFUV Marquee members. And thanks to everybody listening around the whole wide world at WFUV.org. First of all, Amy and Emily, congratulations on a fantastic career and a great new album.
Thank you. Congrats. Thanks.
Few can claim a 20-year career of credible music. I mean, there's not a single disco album in the Indigo Girls catalog.
Not yet.
You just wait.
Not yet.
We got one in us, for sure.
I've heard a lot of artists describe albums as children. And if my count is correct, Poseidon and Bitter Bug is album number 11 for you guys. Would you relate to that analogy? And if so, what child is this exactly?
This is the child that didn't want to come out. For me. It's different for Amy. She probably has her own thoughts on that.
That's okay. I think that was a great answer.
So it took some work.
Yeah, it did at first, but then the cool thing was we got dropped by a record label and we were really, really happy. We had a long, long relationship with Epic Records, which at the beginning especially was very, very fruitful for us. And no record company ever messed with our creative process, but it was just became bogged down in a system of misspent money and non-creative ideas and sort of a machinery. And so we signed with Hollywood, and they dropped us after we made our last record. So they dropped us right before we were supposed to go in the studio for Poseidon and the Bitter Bucks. We were very, very excited because, well, Mitchell Froom agreed to come back and produce the record. Everybody gave us a break. They knew we had a smaller budget. So the studio, Southern Tracks in Atlanta, gave us a break, and Mitchell gave us a break, and he came to Atlanta. We both wanted to work there. And we made two records in 3.5 weeks. So there was not a lot of belaboring the decision-making process. And sometimes in the studio, as in life, you can overthink things and weigh them down. And so we both feel like this album has an immediacy and a freshness to it because we're making decisions based on our guts as we went along really quickly.
Fantastic. And it's out on IG's Records.
IG Recordings.
Yeah. Coming through Vanguard Records. So it's like your first independent record since the very beginning.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you? Does that mean anything to you right now?
Yeah. It feels good. It means, well, I just think it's the right place for us, and I think we've landed in the right place, and Vanguard feels really good as a distributor and has helped us out a lot, and it means we know the communication. We know what mistakes are being made. We know it's our responsibility, and it feels good to work for yourself instead of, the man, I guess, would be. I mean, all apologies to the allies that we have out there, but the man that we all still work for, all of us. Even the men work for the man, which is incredible.
That's good. And Emily, you mentioned two records. You guys did a full-on thing with Mitchell Froom. And then what made you decide to just go off the two of you and do an acoustic version of this album as in addition to?
Well, it was Mitchell's idea, actually. He thought it'd be a great idea if we did these songs with the rhythm section. So we had Matt Chamberlain play drums, and he had 4 days free. And he came in and we cut, and Claire Kenny played bass, and then Mitchell played keys all over the record. We're so thankful for that because we just think he's a genius. So we had 4 days, and we cut all those rhythm tracks. That was the body, the beginning of the band record. And then after that, during the same period of time, Amy and I just sat in a room in the studio with a bunch of mics around us and played the songs acoustically. So we knocked out that record in a couple days, really.
Three days.
And basically the idea was we thought that for those people out there interested in the music, they would like to hear what the stripped-down acoustic versions would sound like. So it's just as if Amy and I had finished arranging the songs together. That's what they sound like on the acoustic record. But to clear up any confusion, there are two releases, and one is the deluxe set with both the acoustic and the band version, and one is just the band version, so don't buy the wrong thing if you don't want it.
Clarity is important. Thank you.
It's easier to have now.
Yes, it is. I know you guys are in the 20-plus years of your career, and I've seen you many times. You've played all kinds of places, and now here we are tonight at the Living Room, which is one of the coolest venues in New York City.
Yeah.
But not But not a place just because you guys are playing to many more people than the 100 or so we have in this room. What is your favorite scenario to play in? What are some of your favorite venues? Do you like being outdoors? Like, how many of us have been to Newport Folk Festivals with Indigo Girls? I mean, fantastic, right? Can't beat that. We were talking about summer stage earlier. Can't beat the summer stage shows. For you guys, though, give us a little, like, I know all the gigs are great, but what are some of your favorites? Do you like the small club thing, outdoors, Europe? What's the ideal scenario?
I mean, we definitely like the intimate setting. Like, this is super, super cool. It's just kind of the way we started and the way it's meant to be. But this summer, we're coming back to Central Park, and that is awesome. So we love that. But for me personally, each venue is different, has its own strengths or characteristics. And, you know, back in sort of a heyday or a heady day anyway, we played Madison Square Garden. I mean, so the thrill of that for a lifetime was big. But this is more the heart and soul of what we do. I mean, we're a bar band from Atlanta, and here we are at a bar. So this feels good, honestly.
That's good. Well, we're going to get back into some more live music with the Indigo Girls, coming to you live from the living room. But first, two quick questions. Did you do the crossword puzzle today?
She's working on it.
No, that's from last week or so. Oh. It's kicking my butt. What day is today?
Today is Thursday. It's an easy
Thursday's
day, right?
Thursday's almost a little too hard for me. Friday and Saturday, forget it. Sunday's my favorite day.
Now, wait a minute. I had you up on this crossword puzzle pedestal,
no,
Emily. Was that wrong?
You shouldn't have.
Well, it slips when we're off the road. And we've been off the road for a while, so we get back into it when we're on the bus a lot,
yeah.
And we actually get better. So that I think you're being humble, because I know you finished Friday by yourself before.
No,
I've
Friday.
Seen you do it. It's the Saturday with all the white
maybe.
In it. The white.
Yeah,
what is
that?
Each
answer is like 20 boxes long. Just like
you could fill in your own, and it would be okay, because there's just like, just make it work, and it's fine. It's done.
But Sunday's like the really glorious one, you know, because you feel like you've really accomplished something when you do. I work on them for about 4 weeks, and then get the old ones and start again.
And how's the restaurant business?
Thanks for asking. I'm an owner in a restaurant in Atlanta called Watershed, and we're really proud of it. It's a very cool restaurant, and our chef, Scott Peacock, he won the James Beard Award last year for best chef in the Southeast. And so we're really proud of him and the restaurant. It's a very cool and responsible place, and when I'm there, I always go eat. So thanks for asking. Because the economy, times are tough. You know, it's hard on places like restaurants, but this is our 10th year plus, and we're hanging in there.
Indigo Girls with us here at the living room. Two upcoming appearances in New York City, Highline Ballroom, April 15th, and then the aforementioned Summer Stage Show coming up on June the 16th. Well, we're live on the radio on WFUV. Let's get to some more music with the Indigo Girls.
We're going to do a couple old songs.